You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
You must go seize the
moment. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
And welcome to another Inside Ben Davis Football edition. This is the Week 12 edition. I'm LeVon Durden, once again joined by Jeff Robinson.
Hey there. Another night of food and football here at Arby's.
John Easter.
Good evening. It's kind of been a different day. We had our professional development, so I feel like so many great sessions and things. My head's kind of swimming, and it's good to be here tonight now to kind of get back and talk some football.
And then head coach of the Ben Davis Giants football team, Mike Kirshner.
Good to see you again tonight. Just glad to be around for 12th week, is that what you said?
Week 12.
Week 12, you know, if I'd listened to you, this would not have happened. So I'm just going to keep reminding you of how we were supposed to be done at week 10. So we've extended a couple weeks here for him. So, but that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Well, us being here means one thing only. The Giants did get it done, 34-27 over the Avon Orioles. The Giants end up bringing home their 20th sectional championship of all time. And their first one since 2008. Why don't you give us
2011. 2011. Yep.
2008 is regionals.
Yes, yeah. Correct. You're right. Absolutely.
You're just jumping ahead.
Yeah, I'm jumping ahead. See, I'm already trying to help us.
Are you there to tell me we're not winning another one? What's the difference? Here we go. All right.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us your overview of what happened last Friday?
Well, let's just start with the elements. I mean, you know, I've been doing this 31 years, and that may be, if not the top, one of the top two weather nights. We were talking off the radio beforehand that maybe 2002 regional at Warren was as brutal. I don't remember it snowing as much. I mean, that third quarter, it was just straight line snow, 40 mile an hour winds. I mean, you'd have thought you were in the dead of winter. You know what was neat? And I was talking to a gentleman today whose son plays on the Avon football team. Good football player, and he said, you know, that the difference to them watching it was the second half. He and I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, your sideline and your kids were so jacked up. He goes, they weren't standing by the salamanders trying to stay warm. They weren't wearing jackets, and our kids were over there wearing jackets and huddled up on the little heaters on the sideline, and I'm in the stands looking, thinking they're over there having fun, and we're trying to stay warm. And I thought that was an interesting. I hadn't thought about it. You know, I just coaching a game, but our sideline got into it. You know, it was tough. You know, we scored first, elected not to kick the PAT, which in retrospect, it was into the wind. I wish I'd have kicked it. You know, we were just a little nervous. Every time that wind popped up and we were kicking in warm-ups, the ball just gets shoved. I mean, we literally kicked negative punts in warm-ups. It was so bad. And so we didn't get the two-point conversion. They go down and score and make it 7-6. We kind of bounce back, get a lead at halftime, but again, we're only up 20-14, so it's a little deceiving. You know, it's a touchdown away, but they took the ball. I would say we took the ball to start the second half, and they kicked off and chose to kick and put us, put us deep, put us into the win, and I thought that was key because we drove down and scored. Looking into the wind, and that was kind of what wasn't supposed to happen, you know, and we ended up getting up 34-14 with just a little over 7 minutes to go in the game, and we felt pretty good. We didn't throw the ball. Kyle, counting the two-point conversion, only attempted 7 passes, completed 4 of them for 63 yards and a touchdown, which was way under his average for attempts, completions, and yardage, but the wind kind of dictated. They did a nice job. It was kind of odd because you got in the fourth quarter. I don't know if anybody up top noticed this, but the wind just kind of died off. The snow ended, the wind, and all of a sudden, they got Brandon Peters throwing that ball, and he's really good at throwing that ball. And they put a drive together and got a score, and questionable call down on the one. Thought we had a fumble, and they didn't give it to us. And then we fumbled the ball back. You know, we had two turnovers, which is something you can't do. And then they drove towards the end, and that was pretty much the end of it. But I was real pleased with the way our kids responded. We rushed for almost 400 yards, and that's 2 weeks in a row we've run the ball pretty well.
Just talking about that running game, how has it been in terms of making the changes to the offense? Like you've had to do for some of the weather.
Yeah, it doesn't. It means we're not one dimensional. We've always known we could run the ball, but with Kyle throwing it, we've kind of done a lot with that. But with weather like we experienced 2 weeks ago against Pike, it was a scheme issue, and we ran Dorian a bunch, and I think Dorian had 259 yards rushing. Friday night, it was a weather issue. We just felt like going into the wind, it was a little tough. And then even with the wind at your back, the ball would just sail on you a little bit, at least in warm-ups. And talking to Coach Ferris, you know, even with the wind at our backs, you know, I'd be thinking about running the ball, or I'd think about throwing. I'd have this pass play dialed up, and then Dorian would rip a 15-yard run, and I'm like, why? You know, we're running the ball. You know, and then you kind of start thinking in the second half, you know, Dorian goes down in the second quarter with a shoulder. And, you know, we put Chris in, and Chris ends up rushing for 193 yards after Dorian had already rushed for 108 in the first quarter and a half. So, overall, we took advantage of things. It makes us two-dimensional. You know, going into this week's game, they're going to have to prepare for both. You know, we're running the ball well. We're throwing the ball well. So, we'll see what happens.
Coach, I know that sometimes when you used to look at the scouting reports that Coach Dullahan would give us, it have his first 15 plays or so already scripted out. When you go to a game like this where you've probably done so, you obviously, not probably, you've done some game planning, you put together a game plan, how much of that can sometimes say, well, that's not going to work in the pregame? You get out there and it's the wind's blowing at you 50 miles an hour, how much of that gets, okay, we got to do something else?
I tell you what we did. When you talk about game plan, which I thought was a little bit key for us, you know, Monday's weather that week was not bad. Tuesday was cloudy, cold. It was 40-some degrees. The wind was blowing about 18 miles an hour, so we made the offense play into the wind to kind of get a feel. Wednesday wasn't as breezy, but it was still 15 to 16 mile an hour winds. Knowing that there was a good chance it was going to be wet, we brought out the buckets of water and all the balls were wet, and Kyle had to throw a wet ball and into the wind with a wet ball to kind of give us a what Friday night might be. And then, of course, Thursday was ideal. We should have played it Thursday. We go out to practice Thursday, it's sunny and in the 50s, and there's no wind, and it's perfect, you know. So, but we kind of game planned for that as far as the way we practice. Now, can you game plan for snow and 40 mile an hour? No, but the bottom line is you have to have a system, and we have a run pass system that should be able to get you through multiple situations.
In the first half of the game between Ben Davis and Avon, again, the running game was kind of a huge thing for you guys. It was a huge thing also for the Orioles. But at times, it seemed like the passing game was also there for them, even with the kind of conditions, which makes a lot of people wonder, did the conditions out there help Avon in any ways, or is that just a good quarterback?
No, he's a good quarterback. I don't know if they got an advantage one way or the other. Obviously, they threw it better with the wind at their back. That's why I think if you look at it statistically, over half his completions came in the fourth quarter. But at the same time, they were down 34-14 and felt like there was no other options but throw the ball. I thought Brandon Peters ran the ball extremely well. We didn't tackle well at times Friday, which has been an Achilles heel for us for all season. There's just times we look like we got it and we know what we're doing, then other times we just drop our head and hope. And But I thought he threw the ball well. He's a good quarterback. He's a Division I quarterback. He stands tall in the pocket, and he delivered some good balls to people.
Well, let's kind of go back to that fourth quarter. You're holding a 20-point lead with just 7:22 to play. What's going through your head whenever that lead's starting to evaporate?
Well, You know, we get it to 34-20 because they botched the snap on the PAT. And then they onside kick. We recover it, and we're really driving. I mean, we've got a first down. We're sitting down inside their 30 when they forced a fumble. I'll be honest with you, I was getting a little nervous. You know, we're telling the defense, look, they're going to catch some passes. Tackle them, get them on the ground. Because at that point, they'd already used all their timeouts, and it was all about just getting the clock to move. And once they scored, I was a little frustrated they scored their last one. I just felt like they got us on our heels. I felt like our kids relaxed a little bit. You know, we were up 34-14 7 minutes ago. You think you're pretty good, but when you got a quarterback that can sling it like Brandon Peters can, then they're always an opportunity. And then with a minute 30, they score with a minute 30 with no timeouts, and then they onside it, and we were able to recover it and basically just took a knee at that point. So never over till it's over. Never really comfortable till it's done. So, but you know, it's like you said, it's our 20th. So that's I've been here for 8 of the 20. So it's been a heck of a deal.
It was kind of like that Colts game last night where the Colts were up 40-17 and then all of a sudden 40-10 and then all of a sudden Eli Manning started hitting some stuff there towards the end against the Colts, and they got a little nervous, and Vontae Davis and Toller go back in all of a sudden, and then they shut them out. You know, you kind of alluded to it early, but we up in the booth were wondering what was the deal with all the two-point conversions. Was it just missing the first one and getting behind and then feeling like you had to get it back?
Yeah, and that's what we call in coaching profession chasing the points. We elected not to kick the first one, and they kicked, so that made it 7-6. And then from that point on, you know, there's a card. There's actually a card that was printed. If you're up by this many or down by this many, go for two or kick one. Well, then it's 12-7, and it says go for two. Well, you don't get it. Well, then it's 18-7, and it says go for two, and we get it. So now it's 27. Now it tells you to kick, you know. So then it's 20-14, so then it tells you to kick. But then the next touchdown, we were going into the wind again, and we didn't feel comfortable. So the bottom line is we ended up getting 2 2-point conversions, which is equivalent to 4 PATs, so we're only a point off of what should have been. The frustrating part is we fumbled on the opening drive. We take the opening kickoff. We're looking face into the wind, and we drive all the way down to their 25 and fumble, which can't. I mean, we're going to score on that drive, and I think if you do that one, then you kind of flip the field. You know, the first quarter, it was for us, it was about surviving the first quarter and getting the wind at our back, knowing that that would change their mentality offensively. So it was field position, it was possession, and their kids played well. I mean, they really played hard. You know, Mark Bless does a great – we knew it was going to be that way. He does a great job. They were on a 6-game winning streak coming in. They were Hoosier Crossroads champs. So.
Well, we know that you guys suffered a lot of injuries.
A bunch.
The two Baker names that kind of spiked everybody was the Asmar Bilal injury, and, of course, you've already said it earlier, Dorian Tate. Where are they at?
Well, it's more than just those two. It's Dallas Pitts. It's Antonio McEwen. It's Cache Wilder. Most of those guys weren't playing at the end of the game. Nobody knew it, but they were all coming out. For some of them, some of them have not been released. It's purely day to day. Probably won't know on any of them until maybe Thursday. And honestly, if some of them don't practice by tomorrow, they'll be out. So it's just the way it is.
Have you already figured out replacements for these players?
Oh yeah, they practiced all night tonight. So it's the way it goes. You know, it's unfortunate, but it was a hard physical game and things like that happen.
And you've been relatively lucky all year.
Very, very much so. The only one we'd lost going into this was Christian Hunter, our outside linebacker punter with an ACL. So we've been fortunate. You know, I'm not – it's nobody's fault. It's just the nature of the game a little bit.
I mean, this kind of calls into play there. You played two very tough tournament football games at this point, and things can only get tougher the rest of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you overcome things like that?
Well, it's somebody, I think one of my coaches said it to me yesterday, that, you know, they always give me a hard time sometimes about how many kids I keep on the roster. And they said, well, this is kind of the reason why I guess you keep so many kids, because now there's another kid stepping in. Another kid moves up the ladder and gets on scout team, and he's playing out there and getting better. You know, some of our younger kids get better, which is a big opportunity for us. And sometimes it's an overlooked thing when you exit the first week. For instance, you know, Pike or Brownsburg, who lost in the first week, their kids have not been practicing. You know, we practiced last week. We're practicing again. So our young kids, we've got some freshmen out there that we're really excited about. They're practicing like dogs every day out there and doing a great job. So that develops a little more depth, and it's also the reason why you don't get rid of kids. You never know when they're going to have to stand up and play.
Well, that's going to go ahead and complete this first half here on Inside Ben Davis Football. When we get back, we look at regionals, which will be against Warren Central from Ben Davis. But first, a 30-second break here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings. On the web at classickings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
And welcome back here live from inside Ben Davis Football, live from Arby's across the street on 10th Street. I'm LeVon Durning. Once again, joining me is Jeff Robinson.
I'm back again.
John Easter.
Still here.
And, of course, head coach of the Ben Davis football team, Mike Kirshner.
Good to be here.
Well, I'll try to choose my words very carefully. But it has been no shocker, no shock. Once again, the Giants playing another repeat team that they've already seen earlier this year. This time for the regional round, it is just happens to be an ancient rival by the name of Warren Central. Of course, earlier this year they were the Giants' first loss this season, 28-21, kind of ended Ben Davis's run in the top 25. They were starting to get up there, and Warren kind of took that from them. A lot of people believe that the Giants kind of should not have lost that game, really. Now you've got a time. Now you get a chance for redemption. Where are you guys at, knowing that so many people had a negative effect towards the Giants after that first loss to Warren?
Well, we learned a little bit about ourselves. You know, I don't know about we shouldn't have lost. Looking at the film, they outplayed us in various phases of the game. We didn't take advantage of some opportunities that were presented to us. We turned the ball over 3 times in the first quarter in that first game, which you can't do against a quality team like him. Well, we got to play better. The bottom line is we didn't play well. They played well, took advantage of the opportunities. I think our third turnover, they turned into their first touchdown of the game. But even then, we battled back to get a lead late in the first half, gave up the lead right before half, took the lead right at the beginning of the third quarter, gave it up middle of the third quarter, and then they put a nice drive together, a really good drive in the fourth quarter, and just kind of stuffed it on us. To put it away, we missed some opportunities. It is a rival. It's a big rival. Since I've been to Ben Davis, this is my 15th year. We'll have played him in the regional now for the 8th time. The last time we played him in the regional was 2008, which we beat them at Warren Central. They had beaten us during the regular season that year, I believe, 41-21, and we bounced back to win, I don't know, 45-23. Is that what it was? I don't remember. But the game was a lot closer. I think it was 17-9 at half. So it's a rival. You know, we're going to try and do things a little differently than the first time we did them. I like the fact that we're playing at Ben Davis because we were talking off the air that of the last 7 regionals we've played Warren in, 6 of them have been at Warren. The only one that had been at Ben Davis in those 7 was the 2001 game. When we had James Banks and the immaculate punt play that still makes all the highlights.
We still have that reel. We still play it.
It's unbelievable. So, but we don't have James Banks, so we got to live with what we got. So James Banks was a special athlete and a special kind of football player. So we've got our hands full. We're gonna have to turn it up a notch.
You mentioned you get Warren Central this time at home in a regional. What is your feeling toward the existence of a home field advantage?
Well, I like the fact we've played pretty well at home this year. You know, our 2 losses have been on the road. Now, we've been on the road a bunch. I think been on the road 6 times, home 5. But we've played some really pretty good football. We've beaten Cathedral at home, and we beat Center Grove at home. And, you know, you're talking two pretty good quality opponents still playing in the tournament. That just tells you how good they are. So you don't get the advantage in the sense that, you know, by HSA rules, you don't do the tunnels and all the normal fanfare of a home game. But it is your field. Your kids are comfortable. We're not taking a 40-minute bus ride across the city. You know, and hope not to hit traffic and get caught, and you're in a locker room that's not yours, and it's just it's a different feel.
When you look at Warren Central, obviously, you know, just looking at the regional games, there have been a lot of great regional games. I think only two of them, only three of them have been blowouts. I think the 2000 game, the 2001 game, and then the 2006 game.
Yeah, they beat us 42-7 in 2006.
Right. So what is it about regional and Warren Central and Ben Davis that brings out the best in both teams?
Well, when you get to this point, I mean, depending on how you know, there's only eight teams. You know, everybody says it's the Elite Eight. There's eight left in 6A. I mean, you're not, you know, you're talking to the kids, you're knocking on the door. You know, you got to play eight quarters. And you're in Lucas Oil, 96 minutes, and you're in Lucas Oil, and it becomes this narrow. And by this point, you know, this is our 12th game, and counting the preseason, this is our 14th week of practice. You've kind of refined things. You've kind of gotten to the point where things look the way they're supposed to look, and you're practicing with a little bit of chip on your shoulder and a hop in your step. And you know, it was pouring on us all night tonight, and our kids never said a word. I mean, we were out in the rain. It's pouring. It's nasty. It's cold. Nobody says a word. And so it wouldn't matter. I mean, I'll take you back to 2011. We lost to Carmel in the regional, 11-9. You know, you talk about two really good teams that year going at it. In fact, there was, you know, Warren was really good that year, Center Grove, us. And cause I think the state finals that year was, I think Carmel beat Penn like 54-0. You know, I mean, that was kind of the state championship type game. And that was a great game. So I don't know if it's us and Warren or if it's us and whoever plays, and whether it be Pike and whoever they play or Avon. When you get to this point, you're down to the seven or eight really good football schools who have been able to survive, literally. You know, we win by 7 Friday. We won by 11 the Friday before. So you're surviving. You're just trying to survive, stay healthy, and go on to the next round.
And Carmel had beaten Warren in the sectional in 2011.
Yeah, and Warren had beaten them in the regular season because Warren won the conference that year.
Because it was like number, you know, I think Greg Rakestraw, I heard that year, he said this is number one, number 1A, and number 1B. I mean, that's kind of how it was.
And it really was those three pretty much that kind of – we're just a little bit ahead of everybody else.
Well, you talked about practice and the rain today. Well, one thing that is, I don't know how you feel about this, but you're practicing not only on your own field and on your own practice fields and all that, but the game Friday, there's already talk that it may be another cold and wet game, similar to how practice would have been today. Does practices that are cold and wet, especially at home, kind of help you guys prepare for this game on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, we could have gone inside, I guess. The MPA was open. But I didn't even think in those terms. Unless it's lightning, it could be a monsoon and I wouldn't care. You just can't be outside in the lightning. And we told the kids we got them lined up. We always line up outside the gate, and then I blow the whistle and we start practice. Before we start, blew the whistle. I said, you can either let the rain be a problem, or you can let the rain not be a factor because you're so focused on what's in front of you. And they did a good job. You know, I really felt like, you know, not being in school today, you know, I was worried about kids coming back and getting rides, and they were all there, and you know, except for a few young kids, and they were all focused and bouncing around. So the weather didn't bother us. It didn't bother us Friday night, which made me think it wouldn't bother us today. It wasn't as cold.
Your personal background is full of years at Warren Central. Uh-huh. Now you're at Ben Davis. From a personal standpoint, how do you look at a Ben Davis-Warren Central football game?
Well, yeah, just to give the listeners, I was a 79 grad. Played varsity football there, O-line, D-line. Coached there from 90 to 96, football coach, basketball coach, did girls for a few years, boys for a few years, softball coach. A lot of memories, still have a lot of friends there. when I first got to Ben Davis, I'd probably tell you there was a little bit of a animosity. I don't want to use hate. That's a too strong a word. Animosity. I wanted to beat him bad or anything. I mean, I just wanted to whoop him bad. And when we beat him twice in 2000 and twice in 2001 and, you know, split in 2002, and then we've been kind of in trouble since. But there's such a long distance now. I've been gone 19 years. The only thing I've really known is Ben Davis for the last 15. And Ben Davis is a special place. And anybody that's ever played football at Ben Davis, if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. It's a special place. There's a special bond, a special brotherhood that comes out of playing Ben Davis football. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen in the other sports at Ben Davis, because I'm sure it does. But there's something different. I've been around it too long now. It's part of me. It will never, no matter where my career takes me or ends when I retire, no matter where I go, I don't know that it will ever leave. Watching them practice tonight in the rain and the cold and hitting each other and flying around and then I'm coming over to the radio show and they're cleaning up in the locker room and they're chasing each other and it's just something. I just don't know how you can duplicate it. And I know there's other sports, but when you talk about 150 kids in a locker room, it's you know, my son played for us. He was a Ben Davis kid. He'll tell you the same thing. You know, Jared Evans, Rich Gregory. You know, I see James Banks. You know, I see Antonio Allen. It's all hugs and coach, I love you. And it's from the outside in, you see football. I know I'm getting a little emotional here. You see football, and that's what people see. I see the other side of it. I see boys who become young adults, young men who have bright futures, bright careers outside of football. And in the essence of the game, that's ultimately what we're about. And I see kids overcoming trials and tribulations that some of us can't fathom. As you know, my life growing up with my parents and my brothers and sisters doesn't compare to a couple of the young men I have to counsel daily, because their life is so much tougher and so much more tragic, and they overcome all that to be part of Ben Davis football. And I know that's a long answer to your question, but I'd rather it be said than not said.
Well, Coach, you know, for you personally, you know, you've been a part of state championship teams. You've had your own teams that have done well. You've had teams that have struggled at Cascade, at Ben Davis. I think, yeah, you know, it's
5-5 year at Ben Davis.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've had you've been all over. Up mm-hmm. and you've had your ups and downs.
Shoot, 1 year at Cascade, we didn't win a game. So we were 0-9, man.
Well,
brutal.
And you know, and whatever happens Friday night, we all know what you do, and you talked about it there, so I can't add anything to the passion that you have for not only game of football, but for your players. So I want to commend you for that. And
thanks.
As a friend, I appreciate what you do. And as an alumni, I'm glad that you're the coach at Ben Davis. And I've been on the record many times at saying that. But personally, what would it mean for you Friday night to come out on top of Warren Central in the regional on your home field at Ben Davis?
It'd be sweet. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna say, well, it's just another game. No, it's not. It's not just another game. If it's just another game, then we're not. I don't know what's the old quote. If you're not playing to win, why are you playing? Show me somebody who's not playing to win, and I'll show you a loser. All those things. You know, we're playing to. We'll play our hearts out, and you know, try to make it right. And you know, it means we get to play another week. And means you'll probably match up with another Mick team, and you have to repeat the process all over again and talk about the same thing on the radio.
One
more time.
You know, to keep moving on in a tournament and keep practicing with these kids would be special. I mean, it's a special group of seniors. I told them at their senior banquet night, our dinner, formal dinner we had, that after 31 years, they're not the top group of kids I've ever worked with. They're one of the top two or three. I mean, they're just academically and athletically and maturity, and what they do is just really special.
Well, we've reached our moment of the day. This has been a very good, I think, show. But do you have any last final words?
Purple Rain, I really appreciate the ones who did show Friday. Didn't expect any, to be honest with you, as brutal as the weather was. Dylan Lighty does a great job trying to lead that. The weather's, I know it's not going to be hot, but it's not going to be freezing, and they're not calling for snow. So, you know, it's a home game. It's a big rivalry. We really need your support.
Well, that's going to do it here. And, again, the Giants now face another winner-go-home week. If they do advance after the Warren game.
He does it every week, but now it's...
We'll let you know, LeVon.
If they do advance past the Warren week, they will play the winner of Center Grove and Southport. If Center Grove wins and the Giants win, they are back here at home. And if Southport wins, then not only will the Giants see a new team for the first time this year, but they will be at the on the road to play Southport. And as you've said it, eight quarters... And you're in Lucas Oil Stadium. The stage is closed.
Three more steps. That's it.
Yep.
Get to hold the big trophy. Three more steps.
Well, that's going to do it for here on Inside Ben Davis Football. I want to thank Corey back in the studio, who's been rock solid all season for us. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll hopefully see you next week here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.